Welcome to the Grace Community Church Sermons Podcast. Each week we share the sermon from this last week's service. We hope this sermon encourages and equips you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Let's listen in now.
You know, it's fun for me. I get to sit in the back and kind of just watch. And there's, you know, different worship styles that certainly go on. But when songs like that, and we do, I think Dale's the one that calls it Acapulco. Acapella. It's just something powerful, right? It's just the voices. It's your voices giving praise to God. And that's what church Sunday mornings, that's what this is about. You know, so many times we share announcements and we do all those things, but it's about Him. It's about bringing Him to glory. And it's not just a one-day thing, it's an everyday thing, but this is one day where we set aside and we say, this day is important, we're going to gather and we're going to worship our King. And sometimes we come battered and beaten, sometimes we come exuberant, but in the end, it's coming to worship our King. And so I'm excited. I love this series we're in Acts. It's been really cool to just digest some of this sometime through new eyes. I try to read different commentaries and just kind of read different study Bibles and try to grasp what's going on here. But this interesting idea of being a pioneer came up in one of the commentaries that I'm using. And this idea of being a pioneer, and these men and women, the church, they were pioneers. That's where the title of the message came from, Blazing the Trail. And immediately, Monday morning, when I started working on the sermon, I thought of the game Oregon Trail. Now you're thinking that's pretty silly, but I got a couple pictures that I remember. The first one is just kind of the splash screen from Oregon Trail. You know, that was the idea that you were virtually back in the day setting across from, I forget, Missouri to Oregon, I think is where it was. And you were going across that trail. And the second picture reminded me that you had option to be three different types of people, right? You could have been a banker from Boston, a carpenter from Ohio, a farmer from Illinois. All of those people got different resources. If you wanted to play the game on easy mode, as I would say, you'd be the banker. You had money to buy everything you needed. You wanted a little more challenge, but still a little more comfort. You were the carpenter. But if you really wanted to give it a risk, you played as the farmer because you had nothing. And you had to figure out a way to get across and be more adventurous. And then sometimes this happened, the third picture. You died of dysentery. I didn't know what dysentery was. If you don't know what it is, I'm not explaining it from the pulpit. You can go look it up. But why do I share that? I thought it was fascinating as a child. I was trying to, like, that inner desire to do something new, to try something to beat my previous score, to make it through with my whole family on that trail. And that was the closest I could come to understanding what it was like to be a pioneer. Now, some of you are farmers and have been farmers and are much more industrious than I am, and you maybe have figured things out a little bit more, but that was this idea in my mind this week as I was preparing. And this game was just a game, right? If you died of dysentery, it wasn't that big a deal, really, but it would have been if you were that person. But it kind of brings to mind that idea of being a pioneer, someone blazing a trail. And that's what these new Christians, followers of Jesus, that's what they were doing. And that's what we're reading about in the book of Acts. And as we're studying through this, we're seeing this kind of unfold. And if you think about the chapters 3 and 4, 4 is where we're going to be today, the end of chapter 4. But we've come through a period, a couple of weeks, of where Peter and John went out on just another ordinary day to pray. And something crazy happened. A man came across their path. Well, they came across his path because he was a lame and a beggar. And he was asking for money. And Peter and John just jumped at that opportunity to share the gospel. And this man was healed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that set off a series of events of where they were taken before the temple people, the captain of the guard, all of these people that were like questioning, what are you doing? Because they were upsetting the apple cart. And Peter and John, we left off last week, and they said, listen, you can tell us not to talk about Jesus, but we're going to talk about Jesus because that's where our hope is. And that's what my question and challenge to you last week was, are we living with that same kind of urgency where we're looking for opportunities in our life to share Jesus? And so today we're going to get to the end of chapter 4. We're going to read the last 14 or so verses, starting in verse 23, and we're going to see what happens. Peter and John, remember, they were kind of maybe roughed up. They were held overnight. They were told, don't you do this. And then they were sent on their way. And this is where we get, starting in verse 23, it says, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and their rulers gather together against the Lord and against the Anointed One. Verse 27, indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against the holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand, heal and perform miracles, miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the words of God boldly. Verse 32, all the believers were in one heart and one mind. No one claimed that any of these possessions was his own, and they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There was no needy person among them, for from time to time those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and was distributed to anyone who was in need. Joseph, the Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage. Thank you for what your word says. God, help your message be clear today and it not be my words, but it be yours. Remove stumbling blocks from our hearts and our minds, God, that we would be able to hear and see what you have for us today. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So as we reflect on this passage and we think about being pioneers, if you're following along in our message notes, I kind of laid out for you where I'm going today. The title of this message is Blazing a Trail. We're going to look at the believers and their response in prayer. And we're going to then follow up with that is in response to that prayer, what God did and what led them to do and how they were able to live on mission. You know, what's very important for us to see here is Peter and John, as soon as they were released, what did they do? They went back to the church, we'll call it the church, the believers of that day. They told them what had happened and immediately they prayed. And we're not talking like just a simple prayer here, not that any prayer is simple, but this idea that they were in this heart of surrender. How do we know this? Well, if we look at the beginning of the prayer, it says it starts out with sovereign Lord. And if you look up that Greek word, it's really giving this idea of understanding that that's surrender. And maybe even goes a little deeper than that in understanding that God is over all things. All things. And we, or they, as believers, were merely stewards. They understood that. And so the beginning of that prayer is they start to pray and they go, the God of all creation, they recognize that God was sovereign over creation and everything that was there. And it goes even a little bit further as you keep reading. It talks about David who spoke and said, you know, these afflictions, why are these people doing this? Well, we see that he's even over the wickedness of men. We call that wickedness because they're going against God, but even God is sovereign over that. There's nothing he's not sovereign over. And if you keep reading, you will see that it also talks about how they persecuted Jesus and killed Jesus and nailed him to the cross and he rose again. And they make mention and they say that God, they didn't do anything that you didn't know about. This was part of your plan for redemption of your people. So even recognizing that very feat, they knew about it beforehand. And even this idea, they were asking for miracles. They were asking for God to show himself. They were recognizing that God was even sovereign over that and the very power of the Holy Spirit. And when it gets to the end, it says that the building or the ground shook. Can you imagine if when I stopped praying one day, the building started shaking? I mean, think about that. Sometimes we take it for granted. We take so much for granted that we pray and we do it like out of our thought process. We're like, yeah, I know I should pray. But these people didn't just pray what they knew. They prayed what they felt. They prayed with their heart, and their heart was connected with Jesus. And in the midst of this, there's several things going on. They realized that they needed community. Understand that. And that's why so many times when we talk about church as being our family, some of us have different views of what family are like. And maybe if I tell you that we're like a family, you're like, no, we don't want that. Or which part of the family are you like? And I hope you get the heart of the message is that we're in this to do life together. You know, our mission and our vision is about inviting you on a journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. And we're in this together, this idea that it's a journey. And when they gathered together in verse 24, they lift up their voices together. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I've been saying this a lot recently, but sometimes my first response when I encounter pushback, or we'll call it persecution, whatever it is my first response always to pray. Unfortunately, being the human that I am, and because I'm a list maker, I'm a doer, I'm like, how do I solve this? My first response sometimes is to, okay, I need to get after this. No! The believers here, Peter and John, are leading them, and they're saying, no, oh sovereign Lord, we realize that this is going on, and even this persecution that's happening is under your control in a sense, because he's God. If God is really God and he's really over everything, then he's over everything. And their recognition of this is just such a humbling place to think that they were at. They knew God and they were realizing that he was in control. A second item that pops out to me from this is that they clearly put God first. They clearly recognized their place, God's place, and when something came against that, they went to God and they laid their requests, their praise at his feet. And this isn't a half-hearted response. This is God and his sovereignty. They understood that God was in control. They were the stewards of what they were given, and they were to follow after him. And understanding that this language in that time would have been speaking as like God was the owner and they were the tenants, if you will. Point of application for us is how we should pray today. You know, when you think about all the things that are going on in the face of opposition, in the face of trials, in the face of job loss, in the face of, you name it, sickness, in the face of whatever's going on, do we go to God first? Do we seek him? Do we surrender to his will and recognize, God, yes, I'm giving this to you. I have my desires, and I believe it's okay to tell God what's on your heart, because guess what? He knows already anyways. But when you can tell him what's on your heart and you can surrender to him, in the end, you get to the matter quicker of trusting him. It's not that you've got it all figured out. In fact, it's so many times, like I said last week, it's the fact I don't know what God is doing, but I know what he's done, and I know what he's up to because of that. The language of being God as the owner is so critical. So when life happens, do we start with worship? Do we start with worship? Have that pioneer mindset. That same idea. An update popped up. Sorry, I lost my place real quick. See, Dan, it happens to all of us. All right. As they continue on, there I was. They're praying. They're recognizing sovereignty. And they're addressing the fear, though. Do you think that they were unafraid? They never said they weren't unafraid. They were saying that, God, we recognize who you are. We recognize that you're God. We know that you're in control over things. So we're going to give you our fear. We're going to give you this fear, this idea that we don't know what's happening. It's that elephant in the room, if you will. Have you ever been in a meeting and you knew the message that was coming, even no one had said. You knew that fear, and like you were afraid of what was coming. Everyone knew what was happening, but no one was able to say it, articulate it. Well, this was the opposite. They knew, they all were nervous. They understood that Peter and John, some of their leaders, were taken away and were threatened. And Peter and John came back and told them what had happened. And in response to that, they prayed and they laid down this fear. How do we know that? In verse 29, I think we've got that to pull up here. In verse 29, we see, "Now, Lord, consider their threats." Notice that. "Consider their threats and remove them from us." No. "Consider their threats and take them away." No. "Consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." See, I think in my life, I want to try to avoid every hardship that's coming along, right? That's a natural response. And then I'm not saying to go out and create hardships, but what I'm saying is that sometimes, a lot of times, God uses those moments where we are at the end of ourselves, we have no idea what to do next, we're afraid what's going to happen tomorrow. Sometimes those moments are used, right? If we believe that God is in control, I'm not saying that God's bringing those moments to you. I'm just saying in the midst of those moments happening, because there's this crazy thing called free will. Sometimes we make poor decisions and bad things happen, sin nature. But even in the midst of those things, God is at work. I was watching an Instagram reel this week, and it was talking about this idea of purification. And the guy was saying, the pastor was saying, you know, it's kind of like the purification of silver. He was talking to a silversmith, and the guy was saying, well, basically, you get it really super, super hot, and it burns off all the impurities. And he asked a good question. He said, "How do you know when it's done?" The silversmith said, "Well, when you look into it and you can see your face." And I was like, that preaches. When God is working in our heart to burn off these impurities, these things that are our brokenness, our sin, our shame, all these things that either we do or things that happen to us that are breaking relationship to Him, when we come back to Him and we accept that free gift of salvation, we said, "Yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus that He was risen again, and I believe that He's my Savior." We become saved. We become one of His children, but that doesn't mean all those things are gone. That means that we've been forgiven from all those things. Let that wrap your mind around a little bit. But this idea that God sometimes allows us to go through these difficult situations where it gets really, really hot, uncomfortable, kind of brings those impurities, those things that are in our minds to the surface, and kind of starts, if we surrender to that process and we ask God to work through that process, we start to melt off some of those things from our life. And a lot of times the best examples and the best things you can learn in life, or the most impactful, come through hard times. To at some point, someday, when Jesus comes back and our bodies are made new and we're resurrected and we are then, God looks at us as though we are Jesus. Can you picture that? I don't know about you, but I know myself. I know my thought patterns. I know this sinner that stands before you that God's called to preach, and I don't know why sometimes, but He does. And so I try to surrender to that, and it's crazy when I'm preaching on a topic and God brings things to my mind. He goes, "Gary, remember this? This is what I'm talking about." And being able to surrender that to Him, and hopefully, each day I'm looking more and more like Jesus. I got a long way to go. But I love what they say here. These pioneers, they start talking about Jesus. They don't worry about the fears and the repercussions. The second half of verse 29 says, "Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness." Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. They asked to be drawn into His presence even deeper and say, "Make us more bold. Make us more bold. We want to see You work and heal people. We want to see miracles happen. We want to see people come to know Jesus." Is that our cry as believers? Do we have that same mentality? Do we pray, "Enable this servant to speak Your word, O God, with great boldness"? That's the challenge before us. As we think about being a pioneer, as we think about blazing the trail, we're seeking after Him more. Here's the point of application. Ask for boldness and courage in your life. Then get ready for what God is going to do. ask for boldness and courage in your life. Maybe you're sitting here right now and you're thinking, I know this person that I've worked with for 3 years. God, you've been telling me to say hello and speak about Jesus, but I haven't done it. God, give me boldness and courage to do that tomorrow. Maybe it's a family member that comes to the meals every, you know, major holiday a year, and you just like, you ask to be seated on the other side of the table. Nobody does that, I know. But if that happens, maybe it's that person in your life. I'm serious. Like, maybe God is bringing that person across your path so that you can tell them about Jesus. Listen, this is the crazy thing about following Jesus. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. But he chooses to work through us. And he's given you gifts. He's put you in locations, and he's given you desires to serve him so that he can use you in his kingdom. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just absolutely mind-boggling? And the crazy thing is, the closer you get to Jesus, the closer you get to heaven. And someday, if you know him, you'll be there. So many times today, I think in America, we suffer from comfort and complacency. You know, even in the church, I'm not saying this church, I'm saying the Big C church in America, we really have no idea what it's like to really be persecuted. You know, we might have seen inklings of it in the last 5 years or so, and maybe in Canada it's getting a little closer, but we really have no idea. Some of our missionaries could share stories that happen every single day of people. You know, in fact, I just saw an article of the church in over in Africa somewhere that were there. Basically, the government is burning churches and killing Christians. I mean, that's persecution. And you know what they're doing? In light of that, those followers, keeping to meet for church, worshiping their God. You know, sometimes there's comfort and complacency, and it doesn't even have to get that big. Sometimes, if I'm being honest, and I know my wife's not in the room, so I don't have to put the caveat on, I'm always honest with you, but complacency is something that creeps into my heart. Not gonna lie. Sometimes I get into a cycle of doing, like, I get in my routine. Okay, I'm writing my sermon on Monday. I'm finishing it on Tuesday. I'm doing this on Wednesday. And I get to the end of the week and I go, man, I don't know. Was I really looking for what God was asking me to do that week? So I'm just encouraging you to call for boldness. But be careful, because when you ask the Lord for boldness, he's gonna bring it. He's gonna bring you opportunities. Lean into the church, lean into his people, find other people to do this with. In fact, I mentioned our vision earlier. Our vision is becoming the best church for families in Lexington Township, but that's not the end of it. The two of the main bullet points is being bold for the sake of the gospel and in a community that it desires to grow closer to God. And that's what my heart is for you guys, is that when you walk out of here on Sunday, it's not just check it, close the Bible, and I'll see you in 7 days. I hope it's that these things bring life to you. They cause you to draw out things in your life that need to be given to the Lord, but they also cause you to take steps to grow spiritually. Be bold for the sake of the gospel. That's what we desire as a church. That's what I believe we're called to as a church. Be bold for the sake of the gospel. The question is, are we doing it? Are we asking for it? God, I just pray that he grants us this desire to see more people come to know him on a regular basis. And that we look at our lives and we say, what can we do where we're at? I'm not asking you to be a missionary to outer Mozambique. I'm just asking you to live your life with the blinders off to what God has for you, just like these early Christians. And as they continued on, as they continued to ask for prayer, it didn't end there. And in verse 32, in this passage, it kind of transitions a little bit, you know, rather than like a point by point, this is what was happening. Starting in 32, it's a little bit more of it's a period of time, because we see this that all believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed to have any possession that was their own, but they shared everything they had. Now, just let me side note here. This is, despite what some people would say, this is not the Bible condoning for communism. Okay, just want to say that, because this is out of choice and out of following God. It's not out of obligation and someone taking it from you. But if you understand, if we're all believers in one heart and mind, and we're pulling in the same direction, all of us, listen, I understand what it is to not know if you're going to be able to buy your groceries the next week. You know, these things happen to all of us. We live in an economy where the price just keeps going up, and shockingly, what they pay you doesn't. And we also live in an economy where, unfortunately, a very small percentage of the people own a great percentage of the wealth. But I can tell you this, we don't serve this world. We serve a God who is in control. He is a God that owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And if he wants to see something done, he could snap his finger, but so many times he chooses to work through us. And so this can be proportional wherever you're at, no matter how much you make. These people, they would give what they had, right? Now, I'm not telling you to go and sell your property and give the money to the church. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is this mindset that they had. They had this mindset of God, this is God's stuff. This is God's everything. I'm just stewarding it. God, what do you want me to do with it? Because I've seen some people who have a lot that give a lot, and those that have a little that give a lot, and it's all about the heart behind the matter. They're all about what God is calling them to do. And the key point here is in their life, God answered their calls and acts for boldness. In verse 33, we see how their lives are lived out. And we see that with great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. You see the pattern there? They come, they worship God. They said, God, give me the boldness. Then they're free with their resources. They realize it's about the church. It's about what God's doing. I'm going to give everything I have to him. And then great power comes. You know, what's amazing to me is so many New Testament miracles happen after somebody has an act of faith. Catch that? So like, think, I've mentioned this before, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus could have said, okay, feed them and been done. But he didn't. He waited till that young boy came and brought what he had, said, God, use this. And suddenly God goes, all right, now we're cooking. Well, I don't know if they cooked fish, but anyways, they gave the food and God went to work, right? If you think about that, you know, I'm amazed. Like, I'm just thinking about everything that kind of came together for this water bottles and the parade and stuff. And I appreciate Pam so much coming to me a few years ago and going, we need to do this. And I said, all right, you're in charge. But no, we support her all along in the family. And it's just a great thing, right? God took everybody. What I loved about some of those pictures is some of you can't walk 2 miles. That's all right. I'm not sure I could walk 2 miles again uphill like that. But you're able to put labels on the bottle. You're able to give money to purchase the bottles. You're able to pray that these bottles would get into the hands of who they need to get into. You catch, that's the vision of the church. It's not just about giving water away. It's about all those conversations that those were able to give the bottle away. And you think, I realized I knew a lot of people in Alliance that day. You just had opportunities to look people in the eye and say, this is from Grace Community Church, or Jesus loves you. Just something super simple, running up that hill and almost falling a couple of times to make sure those people had water. Our young people were amazing. They were all over the place. Everybody was giving what they had that day. And even those that didn't give that day had given ahead of time. God was at work. What's the point of application here? But this is what the church should be about. United in God's calling, surrendered personally and corporately to what we have and giving it over to him. Having our hearts devoted to him, living on mission. Surrendered to what he's called you to do. So first part of that point of application is this, is have I surrendered control of everything? Have I surrendered control of everything given to me? And I'm telling you, if you think about it, you might come up with some places where you haven't. Examine your life. Two of the easiest ways, and this is not just picking on time and money, but two of the easiest ways to tangibly see yourself, how you're doing, is keep track of how you spend your time and keep track of how you spend your money. Okay? Just track it. Pray that God would reveal what God was going to reveal. And I think what's amazing is we have more access, more openness there than we probably realize. Ask God to reveal what is in your heart today, or what is in your life that maybe needs to be surrendered to him. You know, I've mentioned this already, and as the worship team comes up, we'll just kind of wrap up here. The challenge for the American church today is affluence. I really believe that. I believe that we have the resources we need if we ask the one who has the resources to provide them and use them. So what can we do? What can be the challenge for you today? Well, number one, I want you to focus on prayer. Understand that prayer is one of our top things that we focus on here at Grace Community Church, because we realize there's nothing we can do apart from God. So in your life, where are you diligently and regularly praying to Him? See, this is where I get behind the eight ball sometimes is, you know, I feel like, I don't have time. And you know what God does? God wakes me up in the middle of the night and goes, all right, here you go. Are you going to pray to me now? Are you going to pray to me now? And I've been really trying. Whatever God brings to my heart, whatever He's putting on my heart, instead of trying to figure out how to do it, I'm going to give it to Him. Ask God for time in your life to pray. The second is, are you united with the church on mission? You know, we've got a lot of opportunities to serve and be involved. My prayer is that it's never just a once a week thing. I'm not asking you to come and be in a service every day of the week, but I'm saying as we look to the fall and we start launching small groups, we have new ministries that are available to serve in, you know, working with our kids, all these things, we have the worship at the caboose, all these opportunities, where does God want you to be? Don't ask me where I want you to be. That's not what's important. What's important is where God wants you to be. I trust Him. I know He's going to fill the roles that we need. Question is to you. As we get to our feet and we end our service, we're going to sing the song, Gratitude. Because at the end of the day, we've got nothing else to give but our worship to Him.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. If you want further information about Grace Community Church, you can visit us at gccofalliance.org. Also note, the video for this message, for this sermon, is linked in the details below. Have a great day.